The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So welcome. Welcome, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and teach happy hour with Nikki Mercafori. Nikki and I usually alternate Wednesdays. But, you know, sometimes one of us is not around, we're off on retreat or something like this. So that we try to keep the calendar up to date so you can see who's the teacher. You can check there. And today I want to talk a little bit about something. Actually, it sounds a little bit loud. There isn't a manager here tonight, so I'm in charge of the audio. I'm just going to turn down the volume just a tiny bit so it's a little bit less echoey. So what I'd like to talk about is, I heard Max Erdstein, who's another teacher here at IMC, I think he's great, and I was listening to one of his Dharma talks that he gave, it may have just been last week, and I felt kind of inspired by something that he said, and I thought that I would kind of like build on that and make a little twist on it. And he started by reading this poem that I thought was really beautiful. I really like. So here's this poem. And part of the reason why I think it's beautiful is simple and, for me, evocative. So it's called Tree. Nice simple title. Tree by Jane Hirschfield. Maybe I'll wait just a moment for some people who arrived so that they can hear this as well. But it's an interesting thing to try to decide, well, how much to bring, just what kind of imagery to bring in to kind of support our practice. Sometimes poetry is really supportive, that's kind of spacious and evocative. And sometimes like some clear directions, do this, then do that, can be supportive too. So I try to make space for both. You're welcome, and you can move any chairs you'd like to any place so that you can sit wherever feels comfortable for you. Nope. Okay. So here's this poem by Jane Hirschfield. It's called Tree. It is foolish to let a young redwood grow next to a house. Even in this one lifetime, you will have to choose. That great calm being, this clutter of soup pots and books. Already the first branch tips brush at the window, softly, calmly. Immensity taps at your life. I'll read it again. Tree by Jane Hirschfield. It is foolish to let a young redwood grow next to a house. Even in this one lifetime, you will have to choose. That great calm being, this clutter of soup pots and books. Already the first branch tips brush at the window. Softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life. I love redwood trees. You may have noticed we have a redwood tree right here in front. This is Redwood City, right? There's lots of redwood trees. One of my favorite things, I would say one of my all-time favorite things, is to walk in a redwood grove. There's something about the majesty, the grace of these beautiful, beautiful trees. Their calmness, their steadiness, their uprightness. It's a way that when I find, and I think probably many people do, there's a reason why Muir Woods, not too far from here, it's a national park that is so busy. This place that's filled with redwood trees, that people go and it feels kind of like a cathedral to be there. There's something really beautiful and spacious about it. So first in this poem, the tree is described as a great calm being. And that is true, right? That there's this calmness around redwood trees. And we can interpret the immensity, the grace, the majesty, the serenity of the tree in this poem about kind of like a loving, open heart. A loving, open mind. Something that's kind of like is soothing, that attracts others. It's life-giving, supportive. All these beautiful qualities. So just like redwood trees, this a heart and or a mind, maybe we don't even make a distinction between a mind and a heart, that has some openness, some calmness, some serenity. So meditation practice can help this arise, this calmness. This, just like redwood trees, there's a real presence, but with an absence of judgment. There's instead this inclusivity, this acceptance. Whomever, whatever can come sit under a tree, can just walk on by. Just in the same way, it's possible to have a heart and a mind that allows experiences just to move through. Doesn't mean they're all pleasant, doesn't mean they're what you want, doesn't mean they're exactly what you want, but just to allow them kind of move through, maybe teach us something, maybe we learn something from them, but to have this immensity that touches our hearts and makes space for whatever, whatever is happening. And in this poem, the redwood tree is next to the house, this clutter of soup pots and books, and the tree is like tapping on the window. So we may start a meditation practice, we may think like, yes, I'm going to go to IMC on a Wednesday evening, and maybe I'll meditate and maybe I'll relax a little bit and get some calmness. Maybe I'll like plant a tree out there over in the front of my house, but I'm going to often come back here to the house with the soup pots and the books. Soup pots, taking care of others, taking care of ourselves. Soup, it's very nourishing. Books, learning about ourselves, learning about others. But I think that we discover, for those of you who have a regular meditation practice, or even irregular, but you've been doing it for some time, that the practice starts to kind of tap on the rest of your life. It starts to touch all areas of your life. The spaciousness, the steadiness. Once your mind and your heart kind of experience and realize that it's possible, it is possible to have this calmness, this relaxation, it starts to kind of like grow and like bleed out and start to touch more and more areas of our lives, just in the same way that a redwood tree grows. For the redwood tree here in front of IMC last year, we had to reroute the sidewalk around the tree. The tree was so powerful, right, that it had buckled up the sidewalk, and the city came and said, well, okay, we're just going to move the sidewalk around the tree. Same thing with the parking lot. We had to like redo the whole parking lot, right? There's this real strength, there's this real power with this calm steadiness that grows and maybe is disruptive around those things around it in a quiet, calm way. Not in an aggressive way, not in a, hey, look at me kind of way. So in the same way, the meditation practice, cultivating steadiness, calmness. And here tonight we're going to be doing loving kindness practice. So cultivating kindness, love, care, warmth, sincerity, whatever word is meaningful for you, whatever one word that kind of makes your heart sing, to cultivate that. And maybe you just do it for today, just for this time while you're here. But maybe it turns into a regular practice and you can start to feel this quiet power. And maybe it'll start to be compelling, just like redwood trees. They have this, and there's a grove of them, right? It's really powerful, even just one. So, as an introduction to how we're going to do loving kindness practice, the way that I'll be teaching it tonight is that the loving kindness practice has three elements. There's other ways we can teach it and practice it, but this is what I'm going to do tonight with the three elements. And the first element is to bring a person or a being to mind, somebody for whom it is easy to feel love, easy to feel care, respect, warmth, kindness. So usually these are individuals with whom we have an uncomplicated relationship. Sometimes it may start to be easy, and then we may start to remember, oh yeah, but then there was that time that that person did that, and then it starts to get a little bit less easy. So sometimes this means that it's somebody that we don't actually know very well, that we don't have a close relationship with. Might be a spiritual leader, might be a historical figure. For some people, they find that it's actually easier to start with a lovable being, that is, kittens, puppies, babies, whatever, something kind of makes your heart smile, kind of relax, and there's some warmth in the heart. We need to start where it's easy, uncomplicated. So that'll be the first element, is to choose. We often use this word benefactor, somebody who has benefited you, but it's a little bit clunky language, but it's kind of the classical language that's used, so benefactor. Then we're going to expand the practice to do it for ourselves, extend kindness, warmth, love towards ourselves. And then we'll introduce a little bit of equanimity practice, which I'll introduce at the time when we do it. So the first element is to bring someone to mind. The second element is to really use the sense in the body as a support. So often when we start, there can be a softening, I use this expression, an inner smile inside. Maybe there's this warmth in the heart. Maybe there's this little corner of your experience that just has a sense of well-being, this sense of contentment, sense of relaxation. It doesn't have to be your dominant experience. It doesn't have to be your biggest experience. But you might find that there's something that lets go, that is calm and steady. Just bring your attention to that and allow it to support you in the practice. So I'll sometimes be reminding you to just check in with the body. Just because we're doing this practice, there's no guarantee that this is going to arise. Perfectly fine if you don't have any of these sensations in your body. It's perfectly fine. But if they are there, you can use them to support you. So that's the second element. Bodily sensations, kind of the experiential somatic practice. And then the third element is we'll use phrases. I'll be repeating them out loud, and then you can repeat them silently in your mind after me. And we use these phrases just to kind of help the mind, which is naturally going to drift, to just come back to this practice of cultivating loving kindness. So again, you're welcome to use phrases that are, you can personalize them, use them in a way that makes sense to you, that maybe speaks to your heart. And I'll be going at a certain rhythm, using a certain tone and certain words. You're welcome to change this, play with this, experiment it with a way that supports you and your practice. Again, the words are more just to support our intention to cultivate loving kindness. So we're creating the conditions. We're coming here, we're practicing together, I'm guiding us. But there's no guarantee that loving kindness is going to arise. So don't think like you have to have a particular experience. In fact, what's very, very common is to feel like, oh, nothing really has happened here, and I'm trying hard, or I give up, or whatever happens. But you may discover that as you're driving home, that you feel a little bit happier, and that you feel more kindly to the other drivers, to the people you share your home with, whatever. So don't expect that you're going to have a particular experience here. But also don't be dismissive that it means that if you don't have an experience here, it means that it's just a waste of time. It's amazing how the mind works. Okay, so that with is an introduction of what we're about to do. Let's go ahead and start. So we'll start with an alert, upright posture. And please make yourself comfortable, especially when we're doing this kind of practice. You don't want to be struggling. You don't want to be trying to just, you know, bear with it and pushing through or something like this. You're welcome to use as many cushions as you need. You're welcome to lie down, whatever you think is helpful, supportive. So let's start by taking 3 long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to connect with the body. And maybe you'll discover that with the exhale, there's a certain amount of relaxation or letting go that can happen. And then returning the breath to normal and trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything particular with breathing. Just allow the body to breathe itself. It knows how to breathe. And to support a certain amount of ease and spaciousness and relaxation, it can be helpful to check in with different parts of the body. We don't have to make anything happen. We're not forcing anything. We're just placing our attention on different parts of the body. For example, around the eyes, maybe the jaw. These are places where we hold tension. The neck, the shoulders, letting the shoulder blades slide down the back, the right arm, the right hand, the left arm, the left hand, the upper back, the lower back, the chest and belly. So common for us to like kind of be holding in the belly or somehow to have some tightness there. See if you can just allow it to soften. If you can't, that's okay too. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. You can feel supported. We're here, now. Bring your attention to your legs and your feet. Feel your feet on the ground, feeling grounded, steady, maybe even rooted like a tree. And then we'll do, just to support this continuing settling and relaxing, We'll do a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. So in a very simple, uncomplicated way, just rest our attention on the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or maybe the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Whichever of those locations feels the most accessible, most vivid, most supportive, whichever one, and just rest your awareness there. Chances are that the mind just drifts away. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just very gently, very simply come back to the sensations of breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, just simply begin again. So this practice, mindfulness of breathing, just very simply resting awareness on the sensations of breathing. This practice can be a resource, a refuge, a place to come back to. If you ever feel lost or confused or overwhelmed or tired of the other practice, loving-kindness practice I'm about to introduce, you can always come back to this, just feeling the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest. In a very simple way. And then to begin loving-kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, an individual, or maybe a puppy or a baby. You can visualize them. It doesn't have to be in technicolor. It doesn't have to be with a lot of high definition. Just in whatever way makes sense for you. Can check in with the body. Maybe there's a nice feeling. Maybe there's an inner smile when you think about this person, this creature. So keeping this being in mind, this lovable being, to support our intention to cultivate loving kindness, that is warmth, care, friendliness, respect. You can repeat the phrases silently after me. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe you can check in with the body and see if there is a little bit of warmth or tenderness, softness. No guarantees, but if it is there, maybe you can allow it to grow. We're not forcing anything, we're not making anything, we're just allowing. Again, bringing the benefactor or lovable being to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, you can check in with the body. Maybe use the steadiness, any calmness you find. Allow it to support your intention to cultivate, develop warmth, warm-heartedness, open-heartedness, care. If you'd like, you can continue with the phrases. Or maybe you just want to radiate loving kindness in whatever way that makes sense to you. I'll be silent here for a little bit. You can practice in a way that feels supportive for you. And now to extend our practice and to build on this foundation of cultivating loving kindness, or warmth, care for someone or some being for whom it's easy to feel love. We'll build on that and do loving kindness for ourselves. Sometimes it's not so easy. Now that we've kind of built this fire and there's some warmth, metaphorically, maybe literally you feel some warmth, we'll extend loving kindness to ourselves. So in the same way, you can either visualize yourself as you are now today, as you were when a younger version of yourself. Some people like to even do when they were children, find that's the easiest. Do whatever's easiest here. We're not trying to do something that's difficult. Or maybe you don't visualize, you just have a felt sense of yourself sitting here now. You can use that. And you can also use any feeling of warmth or softness or care in the body, some softness, some open-heartedness, some relaxation to support you. And then to do loving kindness for ourselves, we just change the pronoun in the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So this time of year, there's more gatherings, people getting together, families, friends, co-workers. Sometimes it can be helpful to cultivate equanimity, and this spaciousness of mind and heart that allows people to be who they are. Sometimes this is hard when we really care for somebody and we see that perhaps they're doing something that's, in our view, is not in their best interest. So just like we can cultivate loving kindness, we can cultivate this spaciousness, this openness of heart and mind. We can do this building and on this foundation of warmth and care that we've created. You can bring to mind somebody for whom maybe you have you'd like to have a little bit more spaciousness with. There's no need to choose the most difficult person, the one that you have the most difficulties or you feel your buttons getting pushed. No need to start there. Start where it's easier. This practice is to cultivate, allow it to grow. So you can bring to mind somebody for whom maybe there's just a little tension. And we can say these phrases, this phrase. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. Maybe check in with the body again and see if there is some little corner of your experience, or maybe it's your dominant experience of some warmth or softness, openness, caring. Just allow yourself to feel that, experience it. You don't have to do anything. We're just checking in. It's perfectly fine if it's not there. Perfectly fine. If it is there, just allow yourself to be supported by it. Maybe even rest in that feeling of warmth, care, love, friendliness. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this poem talks about a redwood tree growing next to a house. You know, redwood trees, it's their nature to grow. If they have, you know, the right soil and sunlight and water. They don't require a lot, actually. But it's their nature to kind of expand. So in the same way, meditation practice doesn't require a lot of energy in terms of it doesn't have to be this big striving, straining, like effort. I will admit that sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to like just sit down. But once you sit down, it's a way to kind of like take care of yourself, take care of your heart and your mind. Nurture and nourish and support yourself. Both with loving kindness practice and with mindfulness practice. Those start with mindfulness of breathing in the beginning. Both of those practices can be immensely powerful. Don't underestimate how powerful can be just this simple practice in exactly the same way, like that redwood tree out there, with not one single muscle, cause the sidewalk to buckle and the parking lot to get all misshapen, and right? It's just this simple sunlight, water, soil it was rooted in. And you may find that with a practice, whatever meditation practice you do, you may find that it starts to take root and grow and starts like tapping on the window a little bit and starts to like permeate or affect all areas of your life in a beautiful way. And then just like I keep on going with the redwood tree, just I love redwood trees so much. But this just in the same way that right that they support some living creatures are living there. That our having a steady heart, steady mind, some calmness, a little bit of serenity, in whatever way that we feel it, doesn't mean you'll be the most calm all the time. Maybe you just need to be a little bit more calm than that other person to have an effect, right? Affect other people, affect our communities, our families, in a very simple way. Without telling people what they should do. There might be time for that also, but I'm saying that don't underestimate the power of this very simple practice. So with that, I'll open it up for some comments or questions. You could share the experience, something, how it was, these different experiences. I started us off with some relaxation, then we did some by doing a little bit of a body scan, then we did some mindfulness of breathing, then we did loving kindness for a benefactor, loving kindness for ourselves, and then we did some equanimity practice. A lot of stuff in there. There's no need to do all of those. Maybe you can just choose one. Maybe you do all of them. You can experiment. So you could share something that came up, maybe a question about this practice or the teachings or something like that. Anything you'd like to share. And the microphones are here so that all of us can hear. Kelly's smiling. Does this mean you'd like to? But maybe Linda or Audrey. It's turned off, so you have to turn it on.
It's on. Can you hear me now? Yeah,
yes.
Up until the part where I had to focus on myself, it was all good. Once I came to myself, I couldn't concentrate. Negative thoughts kind of came in. And that's so typical?
It's so common, right? It says something about our society, our communities, right? Like we're so critical, like the self-critical voice just comes right in. So what did you find yourself doing? Did you kind of like, well, dang it, you can't even do this? Or was it just
hard
to stay with it? Or
well, I'm like, then I have a hard time imaging as it is. So then I focus on this picture of me when I was younger. I've seen a million times. And then although I'd see that picture, that brought up memories that I thought were, that I was thinking was going to happen in my life later on in life because I was younger, and then they didn't happen or they went wrong or whatever. And so that's the negative process that I kind of went to. And it went from one thing to another to another.
Yeah, so this is, as I said, it's very common. Kind of the classical teachings are to start where it's easiest, and they are to start with oneself. But like here in the West, we're like, you know, it's actually not so easy. So we start with a benefactor. So there's a few things you could do here. One is, if you find that you like these stories of being, I don't know if it's disappointment, but this, like, oh yeah, I thought my life was going to turn out this way. I don't know, but if I had to guess, there's probably not a single person here whose life turned out. I certainly didn't think I'd be sitting here, you know, talking about this. I'm so happy that I am, but I certainly. So, if you find that you're like a lot of story and not able to kind of like connect, there's a few things you can do. One is you can go back to mindfulness of breathing and just kind of get settled again with that. You could say, you know what, it doesn't quite feel ready for me to do the loving kindness for myself. I'm just going to cultivate more loving kindness for a benefactor or a lovable being. Kittens, babies, your favorite dog, right? Whatever it is, whomever it is. You can go back there. And the third is that if imaging feels like it's just a little bit of a strain, I'm one of those people, it's a little bit difficult for me to imagine, to image. Sometimes I just let that imaging part go. And I'm then, instead, I'm more just like, what does it feel like to be, just to feel here? And I'm just like this experience right this moment. May this experience have some happiness and health and safety and ease in it. So that, I guess maybe those are three different ways you can work with it. Maybe I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. This is a very, very common.
I'd like to share.
Yeah, it's kind of like toggle. Oh, Audrey, I thought you were going to like speak. You took the microphone. Anybody else have a comment? Back there, is anybody want to? Oh, okay. I think Linda can press back, yeah. And then if you press the button, the green light will come on.
So I was listening to the poem and reflecting on it and expecting it would turn into a metaphor for mindfulness and practice. But I was wondering about the choices that she mentioned early on that you'd face in your lifetime between the tree and the house, presumably. And we didn't go anywhere with that.
I didn't go over that. I think I probably will give a longer talk on that. But I'd like to hear, did you have some ideas about this?
Well, I'm kind of attached to the house. I like the tree, but I'm attached to the house, too.
Yeah,
I might want to plant it a little further away from the house.
Yeah. I think what starts to happen, right, is we start to feel this, the tapping on the window, this the branch, as we start to see more and more how, oh yeah, maybe I won't do that thing it's my habit to do, but actually it turned out to be a little bit agitating. Now that I have experience with calmness, this thing that I used to do good example is, you know, sometimes, you know, arguing with family members about things that we don't really need to argue about again and again and again. We start to see, like, oh, I think that I'll give that up. Or I'm just making this up, right? Things that are agitating. Maybe this feeling like, oh, I have to have more of whatever it is. And we realize, you know what, right now I feel like I have enough. Just right now. We don't have to like say that we're going to give up forever. We just start to see more and more that kind of the chaos of the soup pots and the books kind of often leads to some busyness, maybe some disconnection from ourselves. So just this, say, well, you know what, actually I'm going to choose something that provides a little more spaciousness, warmth, care, steadiness, serenity, whatever words kind of make sense. So this poem, I think, can be interpreted so many different ways. We can just choose just that line and we can talk a lot about it.
It's interesting that I had that reaction. I did, maybe just because I've gotten so used to expecting it. But it sounds like you're arguing more for the, not the destruction of the ego, but just the moment by moment finding something else to do instead of the ego.
That's how this practice works, right? It's just, we just start to see it kind of just creeping in a little bit, and we've realized, you know, I don't have to make this decision that I usually make. It used to serve me, but now I see it doesn't serve me so well. And we just start to make other decisions. And so the tree just grows and grows and grows, and maybe this soup pot stay there, but maybe there's a little less chaos. Maybe the books, maybe we start just having different types of books. I don't know, there's so many different ways, right, we can interpret this. That's the beauty of poetry, I think.
Thank you. Someone behind me?
I didn't see somebody, but I'd like to encourage if there's somebody behind you, though. Yep, there's a hand up behind you now, so maybe you can pass the mic back.
Can I make this noise?
Thank you.
Hello. I was wondering how you use loving kindness with strong emotions, painful emotions that are hard to like be in your body with.
Yeah. So when loving kindness kind of meets difficulties, kind of like turns into compassion. And I'm defining compassion as this really warm-hearted, wholehearted wish for difficulties to end. But without a heavy-handedness, without a sense of pity, here, let me make it you feel better, or dang it, I have to feel better. It's more this way that kind of like, oh, maybe can this difficulty, can I hold this as well? Can I wish some well-being for myself. So this is not an easy practice. Loving kindness is not can't be an antidote for like all of our difficulties. It can be for some of them. And the more we practice, the more difficulties it can handle. So often what can be helpful is, let's say there's like, I'm sorry, you were saying difficult emotions, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a few ways to do this. One is as an antidote, if we don't feel overwhelmed. If we're feeling really overwhelmed, sometimes it takes a strong practice to meet that. And sometimes mindfulness is easier, just to be with the breath, just to be with the bodily sensations is a little bit easier. And that can help because often with difficult emotions, we have our mind is like, oh, I can't believe this person did that and I should have done this and now it means this, my future is going to be like that and my past was always like this. And our minds are a source of a lot of the suffering. But if we can bring our awareness to our bodies, our physical experience, the abdomen moving, the chest moving, something very simple. If you're having knee pain, it could even be a little bit, you know, the sensations in the knee. And that can help separate out some of the thinking, the story. Often a lot of the suffering is in the story. And if we can just get a little bit of a respite, a little break from that by bringing our awareness to physical sensations, tangible sensations, that can really help. So that's one thing, mindfulness, sensations of the body. Second, if you're going to do loving kindness, absolutely do it where it's easiest. Kittens, puppies, whatever, the absolute easiest. So whatever just kind of makes you smile, maybe some funny video you saw or something like this, and bring your attention there. Just to kind of like break the difficult emotions can often have, we can get like stuck in them, and they just go around and around and around. And often if we can find something to interrupt them, it takes a little bit of the power away from them. Doesn't mean they won't come back. They are sticky very often. But every time that we can disrupt them takes a little bit of the stickiness out of them. And then every time they become a little bit less sticky, then some of the suffering can drain out. Doesn't mean things have changed, but becomes a little bit less painful, a little bit less difficult. This definitely is an iterative process, right? If I could tell you one way, you know, just think about this and everything would be fine, I wish I could. But it doesn't work that way. So I would say mindfulness of the body and loving kindness where it's the absolute easiest thing that just kind of makes you feel happy. And that you could be imagining, I don't know, your favorite hike or whatever it might be, something like that too. So.
Thank you.
Oh, so I went over at 7:02. So I want to respect everybody's time, but I'll stay here. If you have any questions or comments, you're welcome to come up and talk to me. Otherwise, I wish everybody a wonderful, happy, healthy, safe, ease-filled year. So wishing you all the best. Thank you.